Welcome to the War Report on Public Education. The future of education is an important concern for our time. Where it's heading, how it's evolving, and the influence corporate America has on its outcome. The War Report on Public Education provides critical news, analysis, and perspectives on the what, why, who, where, when, and how of both the new corporate state elites campaign, the Machiavellian agenda to destroy the nation's public education system, and the rising public resistance movement to defend and defeat this Machiavellian agenda. And now, here is our host, Dr. James Avington Miller, Jr.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the War Report. I hope all is well. As you know, we are going to do part three of what was going to be originally a one-part series on teachers, teachers' unions, and charter schools. The nexus between that unites those three, I will call them like tent poles that holds up a certain kind of phenomena. Wait a minute. I'm getting a report from network through my earphones. You can't hear this. Oh my God. The charter school industry has run up the white flag of surrender. Wait a minute. More is coming in. It seems that they feel that the jig is up and that many of the charter school bigwigs are seeking to cut a deal. They want immunity. Is that right? Is that what I'm hearing? They want immunity for testifying against going back to the Bush administration, the Obama administration, the Trump administration? I can't believe this. They want to come clean, but this is just coming in too fast for me to just lay it all out for you. But from what I'm putting together here, that there are certain conditions. They will open up their books. You know, they're unaccountable right now. They will testify against some of the leading power figures, both in government, finance, philanthropic organization, financial organization, and big union. Wow. And the terms that they want are they get a chance to keep all the money that they have stolen from the American public over the last 20 years, somewhere in the trillions of dollars. They will not have to. Wait a minute, I got to make sure I'm hearing this right. They won't have to give information as to where their money is being kept offshore. And they want a government guarantee that they will not be assassinated like the 11 people who have died through some very strange shenanigans in Russia and elsewhere ever since Trump was elected in November. That's what is prompting them to want to come clean and seek government protection. This is overwhelming, folks. I just cannot believe this. Oh, and here's a quick part. They tell me that I'm going to be taken off the persona non grata list. Whoa. The unions are going to take me off the persona non grata list? They volunteered this? This is incredible. I don't know what to say, people. I'm almost getting giddy here. Wait a minute. Oh, my God. The network is telling me that this was yesterday's news, not today's news, that I got things confused. Today is April the 2nd. Oh. That I'm basically doing alternative facts and fake news. And the worst, boy, network is just pumping this to me. The worst of all, I'm telling blue lies. Whoa. Folks, I have to apologize for this mix-up. I did not mean to spread fake news, alternative facts, blue lies. I knew it was too good to be true. I'm still persona non grata. My God, this bad, this bad. Well, let me go forward with our show as planned. And by the way, folks, I worked on this all night. Happy April Fool's Day yesterday. Is there such a thing as a happy April Fool's Day? I have no idea. But I've been figuring out how I could do this and keep a straight face, which I didn't manage to do at all. But I just couldn't let that opportunity slide. And when I said blue lies, I hope some of you know what I'm talking about. Just the past couple of days, some scientists from university did a study, and they revealed some of their findings. And the study question was basically, how is it that Trump supporters continue to support him when they know and should know that he's lying his ass off? It doesn't matter to them. And what their explanation, or at least the data, suggests to them is that, of course, there are different kind of lies. They say that when children tell lies, when they're 4 or 5 years old, 6 years old, we call those little white lies. And then when children get older, what have you, we call those black lies. Well, you know, I got pissed off. You know, the black lies, that's a real bad lie. The other lies are white lies. Oh, that's so nice. That's so cute. There's a little racism there for me, folks. But anyway, but then the worst of all is the blue lies. Blue lie is when someone tells a lie, and that lie is meant to protect, to support, or advance something good for the group. In other words, I'm telling a lie on behalf of the group, and hence, it's not a bad lie. It's not immoral to tell this kind of lie because the group will benefit from this type of lie. Where the other kinds of lies, if the group doesn't benefit, then yes, the group then may become disenchanted and et cetera, and that apparently people can handle this. No cognitive dissonance there, but they can handle this because, again, the guy is lying or the woman is lying for our good. So I couldn't miss an opportunity to play with you for that. And the fact that there's no call-in, I don't care how, what's going on. I'm just having fun here. Okay, today's show, part three. Back to what I said just a moment ago in terms of the three tent poles here of this series. We're talking about teachers, and we talked about teachers' union, and we talked about charter schools. And throughout the other two series, there was a theme, of course, and you know me well enough now that the theme was, how in the hell could teachers support teachers' union? And when I say teachers' union, I'm talking more about national, state, local leadership. How could teachers support said group when said group is in turn supporting charter schools? And not just charter schools, but federal, state, local legislation that enables the private sector or the government to aid in the process of privatization is the bottom line. I have been wrestling with this for I don't know how long. How can teachers do this? So we talked a bit about it on the first show, of course, and we talked about it in the second show. And today's show, we're going to wrap up and going to go a little bit out of the box here in that what I'm trying to do today is I've already illuminated some dots. I want to try and connect them today and in the process tell a story that hopefully everyone can resonate with. And before I do that, I'm going to once again give our call-in number. And last week there was some, and the week before there was some confusion. When you go to my page on BBS Radio, you will see some numbers that are toll-free numbers that you can call in. There's a number that you can call in and just listen only. There's a number that you can call in and listen and also be part of the conversation. And it's that number that I always give out. That is the number that you can call in, listen, and be part of the conversation. In other words, talk to me, talk to a guest, raise a question, give a statement or position statement, what have you. And that number is 888-627-6008. Let me repeat that. 888-627-6008. Okay, and I'm talking about you, teachers. And since most of the audience are teachers, I'm talking about you. How can you guys, and any type of conscious, good conscious, bad conscious, go out and support by way of voting for, not only that, paying your dues and et cetera, to an organization, to a leadership that apparently, and this is my view, not anyone else at the War Report, my view, that does not have your best interests at heart. I don't understand that. Okay. Here's what we have going here. And I talked about charter schools, and I've said this for over 3 years. Charter schools are not public schools. Charter schools are one of the biggest blue lies going around. And it's they're charter schools when they're trying to get public dollars, or when they're getting public dollars, when they're getting public school buildings, when they're co-locating in a building, or when they're taking over an entire building, or when they're taking over, quote, a failed school, a school that needs to be turned around, they are public. But when they go into the courtroom because they're being sued, they say, we're private. We don't have to open our books. We don't have to follow the state ed code. We don't have to explain why our chief executive officer on a campus makes $400,000. Or if the person is supervising two or three charter schools, they're making $400,000 to $500,000. We don't have to explain why the person we're getting our supplies from happens to be either a board member of our organization or is a brother or sister of the board member, and we're paying two, three times what those supplies cost if we were to go out and even buy them from Home Depot or someplace else. Because we're private. And by law, we don't have to open our books, and thus we don't. So, this is charter schools, and anyone who wants to challenge me on that, feel free. And I say that because yesterday here in Buffalo, one of the parent-teacher organizations here in Buffalo had a forum yesterday, and some of the school board members, community members, teachers, and some of the charter school people were there, and the charter school people were, I would say, pissed off that they're getting bad publicity coming out of school board, either individual members, coming out of the community, coming out of teachers, what have you. And they want the school board to basically cool it. And when this is, I didn't go to the meeting yesterday. I was told this by a person who attended. They went as far as saying they want to have a sit down at their building. They own their building, hence they don't have any restrictions or that they have to not be able to hold certain type of topics for discussions and what have you. So they want to come in and have a powwow where hopefully the school board would be a little more kind and talking about them. That's charter schools, man. It just cracks me up. Okay, now, here's what I'm really bothered about and want to go back and finish what we were talking about at the end of the show last week, and that is this union supporting the proliferation of charter schools and new schools, union supporting existing schools in terms of with the hope or expectation that they'll be able to unionize the teachers and or I guess the help, whatever they do, and that's the justification for supporting charter schools currently and going forward. And I also talked about what I think, and I just said it a moment ago, that charter schools really are the nuclear weapon of the privatization of public education, public schools. And I mentioned last week a little bit that back in the early 50s, after the Supreme Court decision of 1954, that Milton Friedman and others were talking about you don't have to, we're not going to keep, well, others in the South were saying they're not going to keep their kids in public schools if all these black kids are coming in and pulling kids out. Teachers come out, principals come out, rather than go through the process of integrating the schools. And they set up private academies whereby they didn't have to adhere to the Supreme Court's decision. Only problem was that they were paying for these academies out of their own pocket, and many of the people couldn't afford it. And the solution that was put forth was, do the vouchers, do the academies, and this notion of school choice. That was Milton Friedman, and it catches on, but it did not catch on in the sense that states were allowed to start funding directly and openly these academies. We fast forward to the 80s when Reagan gets elected. He brings Milton Friedman into the White House as a consultant, and we still have this push for school choice, which is nothing more than the privatization of public education. And in this, and this is what really cracks me up here, not in a funny way, but a really pissed off way. It was Reagan who gave his solemn promise to all of his supporters that if he was elected, one of his first tasks would be to start destroying the unions. And I've said this several times. And the PEPCO, this was the union for the people who operate in the towers at the airport, and they're responsible for air safety, air controllers, is what I'm trying to remember. And they gave him this great opportunity when they went on strike, and he immediately then fired thousands, the whole caboodle, everything. And he was delivering on his promise. And then Milton Friedman was pushing the charter school notion and the voucher notion, and then the attack on public education, a nation at risk comes out of that administration, and the game plan is set. I'm going to destroy the unions, that includes teachers' union. I'm going to destroy public education. That means vouchers, tax credit, charter schools, And he delivers on it. Not just him, but so did Augusto Pinochet in Chile, Margaret Thatcher went hog wild in England, and Yao Ping in China. This isn't anything new. We've talked about it on the show for 3 years, and many of you are of that age where you may have lived through this or had parents who lived through this in the 80s if you weren't old enough to remember this or be a part of it. This isn't new is what I'm saying. And again, I'm back to this, how could you possibly support charter schools and individuals who are proponents of charter schools, be it at state, the federal, the district, you know what I'm saying. Okay. So we have this going on back then. And today you know what the Bush administration did, Bush 2 administration did. Maybe some of you remember the Clinton 1, since there was not a Clinton 2 now. The Clinton 1 administration played a role in this. Obama administration played a hell of a big role in all of this, so that we know about charter schools. But now I want to go further, and that I'm here arguing that the charter proliferation, remember I talked last week about the driverless cars and how the driverless cars will lead to the decimation of truck driving industry, the drivers and others who pilot cars around for a living, and computers and super advanced algorithms will take the place of those drivers. And I brought this up to as a direct analogy to what is happening in public education, what has been happening in public education. And I'm reminded, was it 2007, 8, and 9, how many tens of thousands of teachers across the country were laid off because of, quote, austerity programs, and they were never brought back. I'm reminded of the fact that Teach for America comes on board after this great austerity layoff. And I mentioned that, was it last year, I read a report where Teach for America has money in terms of $100 million plus. They started for zero, no money, in a very short time while public schools were going through and still going through this austerity movement. Teach for America comes in and becomes a $100 million organization. And, of course, Teach for America is now in London or England like crazy, Europe and Africa. They become a global nonprofit corporation. I think they're nonprofit. And so we see all these things happening. And I'm still going like, wow, why? And how is it that teachers are supporting the people who are supporting a movement that the end goal of which is the decimation of public education, decimation of public schools, decimation of public school teachers? And if that happened, that's the decimation of unions. You don't have any teachers to unionize, but it's happening. And so, but there are some other things that are taking place right now. And again, all of this, teachers are experiencing it. Parents are experiencing it. Maybe the parents don't know the big picture context in which these things are happening. But the teachers, you should know. I've said this 100 times too, in terms of in the court of law, ignorance is no excuse. And the judge will say, ignorant is no excuse. And judge, he or she will say, you knew or you should have known, which means we're not giving you any slack that you, if you didn't know, you should have known. And if you did know, then that's too bad. So we're moving on with that. Remember last year, last summer, the new ESSA, Student Achieve legislation, was being bandied about in the halls of Congress. And teachers' union were super big supporters of that impending legislation. And there were those of us, because I have a couple of shows here on War Report, and I had some guests on some of the shows, were talking about, folks, this is legislation that if it's passed, it will just accelerate the decimation of public school teachers, and the union. And there were people who were pushing it, saying that this was going to be great. There were organizations that were supposedly public school supporters against anti-privatization. There were gurus who have huge followings that were pushing this. And in that legislation, it was very plainly stated. The legislation was going to support charter schools. The legislation was going to make it possible for states to get even more money for charter schools at a time when public schools are dying because of severe cutbacks year after year after year. And I can, again, I can go on and on and on. But within that legislation, so that was the support of the charter school. But there was something else that was there. And you know this legislation passed, and we're going to see states implementing it. It has already been implemented, and I'm not telling you what I'm talking about at the moment. I'm going to sort of like build this up. But basically, what I'm talking about is technology, an increase, a huge increase of the use of technology in education. The internet, computers, software, and folks, the long-term plan, that driverless car that I mentioned last week and again today, how about a teacherless classroom? How about a teacherless school? And I said I didn't say this last week, but I intended to. For the cars that are going to be driven by technology and super advanced algorithm, does anyone need a driver's license? The passenger getting in, does he or she need a driver's license? Do they license the technology? Does the car and this technology go down to, in California, it's called DMV, Department of Motor Vehicles, take a written test, eye test, and then get in the car with, I think it's in California's Highway Patrol, and go out and do a road test, and then, quote, you get your, if you pass all of these tests, you get a driver's license. So, is there going to be a driver's license requirement in the driverless vehicles of the future? Same question about schools. When teachers are dismissed because of decimation and all this technology comes in, is each individual computer or each individual software going to be certified, like teachers have to be certified? Almost in every single state, teachers have to be certified. Oh, and also, are these machines going to get tenure? Good question here. Well, we know that they're not going to get paid unless you, you know, consider being plugged up to a power source as some type of payment. You know that they won't get a 6-hour work day, 5-day a week, no spring break like is coming up here in New York, no Christmas break, no summer break. Oh, and definitely no benefit package, no medical, dental, vision, any of that. Interesting. So I guess there's no need for certification. And you would support this? Paying your dues? Don't understand it, folks. Don't understand. There's something else which is taking place right now that is nothing short of a nightmare. And that is referred to as the 20th century education, you know, profile, perspective, or what have you. What the 21st century education is needed for the 21st century student turn adult, and that is what we're heading towards. And I will argue and have argued to turn blue that from way back when the power elite, through its billions of dollars, when the state became, when the corporate state gave way to corporations being the state, and then the philanthropic, the financial, then the minions, and on and on and on, that this, where we are today, is where they envision they wanted to get to. And this is just towards the end of the end game, but we're not quite there yet. And the 21st century education, okay, now, what are we talking about here? We're talking about where technology drives instructions. Not the teacher. Technology provides the curriculum, not the teacher. We're talking about where students are truly just data points. And I can't stress that point any, you know, too strongly here. And what's happening today? Remember a couple years back, Emblem, the partnership between Rupert Murdoch and Bill Gates, and where they were going to collect 600 points of data from each student all across the country. And parents, not teachers' union, as far as I can recall, and particularly out of New York City, got together and started warning everyone about what was going on. And eventually, a movement started that killed that partnership between Rupert Murdoch and Gates. And I said at the time, I had one of the people on the show who was very instrumental in that. I said, do you really think it's dead? Because I believe it's not. It'll come back. Different name, different platform. But too much money has been invested, and too much money can be made from it once it is implemented for it to not come back. So, excuse me. We have now, just recently, look at what happened, I guess it was last week, where one house of the Congress passed a bill saying that the internet providers can now sell your personal data from Facebook, from YouTube, from anywhere for profit to anyone. The rolling back under the Trump administration, what Obama finally got around to doing in terms of setting out guidelines that data was personal data unless you and I gave permission for it, that was a no-no. Same thing in the schools in terms of Murdoch and Gates. That was a no-no. Now, unless a parent said, yes, you have my permission to use my child as a data point. So we have that. Also, this 21st century nightmare is where teachers are no longer needed. And, of course, that's what I've been saying. And if you don't think that is possible, if you don't think there will ever come a day when this nightmare scenario could possibly happen, you are so wrong. It's happening now. What about, was it the rocket ship? That charter organization where kids sit in front of computers hours a day? And what about all of the complaints from parents that when they're finding out from research that sitting in front of a computer screen X number of hours a day, day after day after day, and also cell phones up to your ear for so many hours, almost 24 hours for some cases, for some people, could be harmful. But that day is coming, and it's here, but just not on the full scale that is intended. And there was, just this week, a video that was released on YouTube, Allison McDowell, and it's what Silicon Valley has planned for public education. It's a little over an hour. I watched it, what, today, Sunday? It must have been Friday night. And we put it up on our personal pages, us here at the War Report, as well on the War Report. And I strongly encourage everyone to sit down for an hour plus and watch the video. It is frightening as hell, but it's also true as hell. And when you watch this video, there is no way you could tell me, or even yourself, that if technology is being promulgated through the charter schools and now into the public schools as well, and that when it's fully implemented, what's going to happen to your children, your grandchildren, as well as teachers and schools, communities, that this does not disturb you, frighten the hell out of you? I don't know what else could be said or done. That's something that's going on. Also this week, I went back and looked at an article by Emily Talmadge. You know Emily. She has been on the War Report. Met Emily back in October 2015 when I was on my first road trip. And she started telling us about technology, how it had been used, or is being used in her state of Maine, but how it had been used in Alaska and found its way back to the United States, and how it's taking off and the harm associated with it. And I said, she's been on the show several times, and she has her own blog, Save Maine Schools. These are sources that you really need to, if you don't follow them already, you'll need when they're promoted, like here on the War Report, or when I promote it on my personal page, my Facebook page, and others. You really need to look at this because, again, ignorance is no excuse. You knew or you should have known. Okay. Now, this, we're going to see a future where schools and classrooms, simply, they don't exist. They won't be needed. We're moving very quickly to where students are being encouraged to, and parents are being encouraged to adopt the idea of anywhere, anytime workstation for learning, with your laptop, your cell phone, your computer, you could be in the car, you could be in the mall, you could be anywhere and get your education via technology. And that this education is this type of education, this whole process is the answer to the failing public schools that have been failing students for decades, and the poor, poor quality teachers in the classroom who don't give a shit about their students. They're only interested in their paycheck, their summer vacations, their shortened work days, their big-time benefit packages, and their soon-to-be fat, fat retirement pensions if they hang in long enough to earn a pension. And that you won't have any of that. There will be no need for those people. There won't be any need for the classroom, for the school, because every child will be able to access the best quality education via technology, via the software on the technology, via the algorithms driving the software, and this thing called opting out of high-stake testing will be a thing in the past because, and I think you, some of you already know where I'm going, these computer programs, they are structured in such a way that you get a certain amount of information, you are instantly tested on it, and if you don't pass, you get a remediation, and you're tested again until you do pass. And hence, basically, there's no need for high-stakes standardized testing once this program is fully implemented. You'll get instant feedback in terms of how well you understand the information just presented to you. And I'm not calling it education. It's information just presented to you. Now, whether or not you remember this crap or not, that's not good. If you pass the test that immediately follow the conclusion of you reaching point X in the program, and you pass, then you go on to the next whatever module of the program. Who gives a damn whether or not you really learned anything? What was that that David Coleman said in that video that went viral when he was giving a talk and the question of feelings, student feelings? And I know some people are cringing because I'm about to go there. When he said, I don't give a fuck about feelings. It's what you learn and how you learn it is what's important. And that's what this Common Core was all about. And that's what this ed technology is all about. Not to deal with your feelings, but it's to set you in front of an instrument that will give you the information that the people who make up the software modules for your education feel is needed for you to be the type of functioning adult in the technology society, the knowledge society, the information society of now and in the future. And your feelings or emotion, and also the last thing in this little short list is the depth of the most important aspect of teacher-student interaction is relationship. That won't be there. And now, this old, was it old joke about can you hug a computer? Well, you better get used to it and you learn how to hug a computer because that's where we're heading. When the teachers are gone and it's only the computer, there goes that relationship. And I don't have to say what I'm about to because you all know what that is. Relationship, the human relationship, the relationship that children have with their parents, children have with their siblings, children have with other individuals. That is the most important element in the growth and development of children healthy individuals is the relationship. I attended a conference on school safety. I think it was a week and a half ago. And there were almost 1,000 people at this conference, mostly law enforcement from federal, state, city, county, and they did the PowerPoint presentation, and they were dealing with two things. One, how the internet and social media is being used by individuals and organizations to recruit students to their revolutionary cause. And you know what I'm talking about? They're talking about the Muslims, all right? And how American youth are being seduced via social media because they're dissatisfied with their relationship, they're dissatisfied with their life, and they're very successful, susceptible to being brainwashed. But the other part of that day-long presentation was about Columbine and other school sites where there have been violence, mass shooting. And the most important thing that they tried to drive home to everyone in the audience was that almost every one of these sites, Sandy Hook, you name it, the students had prior knowledge that it was going to happen, that the would-be perpetrators confided in a few friends at school, telling them not to come to school, or what have you, and that these students who knew about it didn't do anything, didn't go and tell anyone. Only a few did. And the point that they were driving was that who the students who had this advanced knowledge went and told what was possibly coming were the teachers that they had relationships with. If there was a, quote, resource personnel, which is a word for cops on campus, if they had a relationship with that person, they were more likely to go and tell the person what was going to happen and who. And their point was relationship is 100% the most important variable here. But if you don't have teachers, instead you have the computer as your teacher, you kill, and you may call me biased, the most important element in student learning is relationship that they have with their teachers. And some of these relationships, you know this, last forever. Students that you had in first grade, second grade, third grade, come back to the school to see their favorite teacher. 20, 30 years later, you'll hear from them, and you'll remember them. It was because of that relationship. Those days are fleeing, folks. And here's something again, and all I'm saying is that we are laying the groundwork, the foundation now through charter schools. Charter schools, and again, you may call me biased, but charter schools, not just they're siphoning the money away from public schools, siphoning the money away from neighborhood schools, they play a key role in the education of the future. I'm using that education in a big generic sense. You call it the shock troop, the point guards here. They're paving the way for the final end game that maybe 5, 10, 15, I don't think is more than 15 years away. It may not even be 15 years away. When I talked about the Machiavellian agenda and I talked about the end game, the privatization of everyone and everything, and the role that education And since most of our kids get their education in a public setting, still 90%. So the role of public education, public schools teachers, and the socialization of children into adulthood, even when adults go to college, the socialization still is operating full throttle. And it's charter schools and their socialization, charter schools and bringing in the technology, charter schools bringing in the software, charter schools getting rid of, because they don't have to have certified teachers, charter schools who can don't have to operate via any ed codes, charter schools who can put kids out on their whim. After a certain date, of course, when the state counts how many kids you have on this particular date, hence that will determine how much money you're going to get. After that date, they can push them out and ostensibly send them back to the public schools. So charter schools, and I'm against charter schools. We all know that. You can call it a bias if you want, fine. But what I'm trying to say is that charter schools play a much bigger role in the Machiavellian agenda and its endgame than just siphoning students and money from public education. It is the tip of the sword leading the way to this 21st century education model that I just mentioned. And this ESSA that I also mentioned, and the union support. And when I say union support, I'm saying also teacher census. You know, you vote for your leadership, you pay your dues, and these people who are supporting your destruction, you, in my view, you are just as guilty because, as I said, you're not joining the union, I think, is a must, but voting for and keeping these people who are just helping destroy public education, paying your dues, you're complicit. The message here is that online instruction will prevail in the education arena in a very big way going forward. And online, I'm saying technology, ed technology, and that we're in trouble, in my view. Something else here, too, is go and again to Save Maine Schools. There are several great articles there. The one that I kind of alluded to is called Who is Killing the Teaching Profession? There's an article there. That's the name of the article. I think it was February 16, 2016. And it was a report on a conference that took place in 2009, whereby basically, I think it was ACE, the American Teachers Federation, had representatives there. And ostensibly, and I can't say this for sure because I wasn't there, and the article wasn't totally clear on this, but they signed on to the message of the program back in 2009. And basically, the thing was that we're losing teachers, seasoned teachers, we're losing new, fresh teachers, not because of the war on public education. We're losing them because of the way in which teachers are being prepared to continue this outdated factory model of education, which is no longer hip, and that we will get teachers to stay in the profession once we switch over to this model that we call, you know, teachers and show teachers how to, it's called preparing tomorrow's teachers to use technology program. This is back in 2009. Person presenting at this conference was from the U.S. Department of Education, and there you have. You have what I said. Bush 1 and 2, Clinton, Obama, and via the Department of Education, and now you have the new people there all pushing this notion of privatization, and technology is the sword, folks, the tip of the sword that will carry them to where they want to go. Okay, I'm out of time, folks, but go to and watch the, what Silicon Valley has planned for public education. With that, I'm out of time. Have a good rest of the Sunday, and we'll be back next week. Thank you.
Join us again next time as we explore and become aware of the most pressing problem of our time, education, corporate America, and their unholy alliance.